listening to Football in Europe, the weekly podcast covering the game across the continent.
This is your brand new European Football Roundup podcast. I'm Rob Daly. In this bonus show, we're across the midweek fixtures in Germany, France, Spain, Italy and more. My co-host is Chris Parrott.
Midweek madness, Rob. 5 goals in 9 minutes, Robert Lewandowski. Barcelona were thumped and one team in France scored 6 goals against a side that will come to Anfield in the Europa League this season.
Chris is in London, I'm in Cologne. We're also going to tell you the top games to watch this weekend and where to watch them on TV.
This is Football in Europe.
So Chris, we said we'd do this podcast, and as we mentioned, we're not getting paid. So how have we put this together?
A little thing called Skype. And I'm in my bedroom and you're in a hotel room, I believe.
yeah, it's tragic. I'm like Alan Partridge. Lewandowski's a big talking point of this week. I mean, we'll get on to Barcelona very shortly and their loss to Celta Vigo. But, I mean, amazing stuff from Lewandowski.
Well, ridiculous. And the fact that you managed to pick that game to go to in the Allianz Arena. First of all, and it's something was asked around by a lot of people, why didn't he start?
Well, I think that's a very good point, actually. It's something that on German TV, they were speculating ahead of the game. They thought we were going to see Guardiola's strongest team, and that includes, you know, Robert Lewandowski. And I think Mario Götze was the surprise starter. And when I got to the Allianz on Tuesday, and I saw up on the screen, that was the big surprise for me. And I think you could criticise Guardiola in one sense for not picking him, but my God, what an impact from the bench in the end. And it was truly special. As well, Chris, why are we doing this, mate? Why are we bothering?
Oh, just because there were so many games. Because they all went English this week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Germany, yeah. Spain, Italy. And whilst we had the glory of the Carling Cup, the Capital One Cup, sorry, I forget what it's called. They had full fixture lists, so it seemed right to do. And I don't know whether you thought this, but it was something they discussed on Sky last night in the Spanish league, was that there did seem to be more bonkers results than normal.
Yeah, there was lots of mad stuff happening this week, including the surprising result that Ipswich Town failed to get results at Manchester United in the League Cup, Chris.
Well, I think that was a big shock across Europe. Well, we might as well do the rest of the podcast on it. I made myself sit through Andy Cole's 5 goals from that 9-0 win a few seasons ago. And when I saw the teams, I honestly feared. Like, United basically played a first team and Mick changed his whole 11. So 3-0, I would say. Ipswich are probably the happier, if anything.
Yeah, because they're out.
Yeah, because we're out, yeah.
All right, let's get on with the show.
This is Football in Europe, La Liga latest.
Chris, let's start in Spain. We have to begin with Celta Vigo against Barcelona. The hosts unbeaten and fourth in the table against the league leaders going into this, who boasted that 100% record ahead of kickoff. But Celta Vigo, the former club of Luis Enrique, used to be head coach there. They won by 4-1. What on earth happened?
Heaviest Liga loss of Luis Enrique's reign at Barcelona and Eduardo Berizzo's side. They're absolutely brilliant. From almost the first whistle, Nolito got an excellent goal. Iago Aspas, remember him? He got 2. And John Guidetti rounded it off, the former Manchester City and Stoke and Celtic player. Saw him at the under-21s in the summer at the Czech Republic when I was out there. He was one of the players of the tournament at that competition for Sweden. Delighted to see him playing well. He's a real character. But Barca were well beaten, simple as that. And I know that the narrative will be about how poor Barcelona were, but sometimes you just have to say well played, because Celta Vigo were excellent. Saw their coach saying our feet are on the ground, that classic cliche coaches use. But they've set themselves up, though, because they played at such a high level.
I've heard Sid Lowe talk a lot about Celta Vigo on his Spanish football podcast with Phil Kitchen-Melides, and he's been so impressed with the way that Celta Vigo have played all season, even before this game. A couple of quotes from that match. This from Javier Mascherano, and I think it's quite telling. When you feel totally outplayed in a game, it's not a nice feeling. And Luis Enrique was, gave a lot of credit to Celta Vigo after the game. But he said something, and something we've talked about in squad depth, Chris. He says, I have alternatives. I'm not missing anything. This is a squad and I'm delighted to have it. And I just wonder if Barcelona are going to look back on that summer and think, maybe we let, considering we can't have register any new players, we let too many leave the club. What do you think?
You have to, at some stage, give some of these talented youngsters an opportunity. Munir El Mohammadi came on, but, you know, maybe also back themselves to get through to January when the likes of Arda Turan will come in and will strengthen the squad and probably the first 11, let's be honest. And maybe they think we're good enough not to lose La Liga, if you see what I mean, in the first half of the season. We'll be there or thereabouts. And we're good enough to get through in the Champions League as well, which they probably will be. And so maybe they think that's the way. And then they get these new signings in January and it really strengthens them. But interesting one for me was that it's the third time that Barca have conceded four this season. That's the first time in La Liga, but they conceded four in the UEFA Super Cup and they conceded four in the Spanish Super Cup as well, didn't they, at San Mames? So a couple of games now where they've really shipped a lot of goals and that has to be of concern.
Other results in La Liga in the midweek fixtures. Levante managed to get a late equaliser against Eibar, who were 2-0 up actually in that game. Rayo Vallecano beat Sporting Gijón. Las Palmas 2, Sevilla 0. Another defeat for Sevilla. We heard on Andy Brassolon on our show on how much they're struggling. Malaga 0, Villarreal 1. Another good result for Villarreal. Chris, Real Madrid 2-1 winners at Athletic Bilbao. That's a really good result. And two goals for Karim Benzema.
Yeah, really good result and a really good performance. Celta actually went top for a few hours after that win over Barca, but Real Madrid are back above them. They were excellent. No Bale, but no problem really for Rafa Benitez's side. Mateo Kovacic was excellent, I thought. Really came in, a touch of class, excellent on the ball. He looked like a Real Madrid player, if you know what I mean. A bit like when Toni Kroos and Luka Modric arrived. They looked like Real Madrid midfielders. Benzema, he's just such a good goal scorer, isn't he? And even though Cristiano Ronaldo didn't score for once, they were excellent. Tough place to go, as we know. It's a bit of a cliche as well to say that in Spain, but it's true away at Bilbao. But they won, and certainly I think Rafa Benitez can be very happy. Four wins, five games. It's a pretty good start for him at the Bernabeu.
Yeah, and that was the first goal they conceded in La Liga as well. Mateo Kovacic, as Chris mentioned, playing in that number 10 position with no Gareth Bale. And Rafa Benitez seemed very pleased at full-time that he'd managed to get his team to play four different formations in one match. Atletico beats Getafe 2-0. Griezmann with a couple of goals. I mean, Chris, where does Antoine Griezmann rank in sort of European striker terms now? Because Atletico have got so many great attackers. I saw Correa was even called up to the Argentina squad the other day. How good do you think Antoine Griezmann is in terms of European forwards?
Well, potentially right up there, I'd say. He got those two goals against Galatasaray in the Champions League, didn't he? Away in Istanbul. Scored two really good goals against Getafe. He's only 24. One would imagine he's going to have an impact at Euro with France in the summer. And I think this is... they're actually talking about this on the commentary of the game, Atletico against Getafe, about because of Sir Alex Ferguson's book, when he said that he only managed four world-class players in his whole time at Old Trafford, which was an interesting talking point. Griezmann isn't quite at that level. He's not quite at Messi or Ronaldo, but he is consistently performing now. Atletico have a real talent on their hand, I think. Someone that everyone's always known has that ability, but he's putting together consistently now. And you do wonder what the future holds for him and maybe for Atletico. Is he going to be the next person that they're going to have to really struggle to keep hold of? Because right now he is playing at a very, very high level.
Another defeat for Valencia. They lost to Espanyol 1-0 on Tuesday. And we heard the boos for Nuno after the game the other day. Lots of frustration for Valencia fans, who I think feel a little bit that their club has been completely turned around at its core in the past few months. And Chris, a win for David Moyes. Now, there was talk in Spain that he was under pressure. A hat-trick for Agüero, but a huge result for David Moyes, who says he doesn't want to go. I'm sure he'll be very relieved to get his first league win of the season.
Yeah, certainly. And against a side in Granada that you would expect Real Sociedad to go and to win. It was an excellent hat-trick. Granada helped out Real Sociedad a bit. But yeah, very important now. I think we're getting to the stage where you're five games in where, you know, you're not sure you can still say we're bedding in, because actually the season is rapidly moving on. We're almost at the second international break. We're almost into October. And it gets to the stage, if you haven't picked up a win now, that people and boards and chairmen and fans do become to get just that little bit more jittery, I think.
So really tied to the top of La Liga after five games. Real Madrid, Celta Vigo and Villarreal all on 13 points. Atletico and Barca in fourth and fifth have 12.
This is Football in Europe, Bundesliga Roundup.
Well, no doubt about the big game of the midweek fixtures. It came at the Allianz. The top two from last season met in the Bundesliga. It's Bayern against Wolfsburg. I had the pleasure of going to the Allianz. And here's what happened on my trip to Munich.
Ladies and gentlemen, a short interview. Already in the descent to Munich. Pretty well on time, we estimate another half an hour to our arrival.
Okay, so my flight's landed. I just got a taxi from my hotel to the stadium and I'm just walking into the Allianz now. And when you approach, it's just this huge glowing red spaceship on the edge of Munich. It's around 10 kilometres from the centre of the city. But now I'm just going to walk up the steps and head out into the Allianz Arena. A shock at the Allianz Arena because Wolfsburg have just scored an unbelievable goal from Caligiuri. Julian Draxler, central to it, he picked him out and it's an unbelievable goal for Wolfsburg. He'd been under a lot of pressure, but in truth, have contained Bayern well. You can probably hear it's been a devastating 60 seconds for Wolfsburg because Robert Lewandowski has just scored twice, and his second goal is absolutely unbelievable. Has gone absolutely nuts because Robert Lewandowski, I don't know how quick that was, but he scored a hat-trick in about 2.5 minutes, and that is one of the most extraordinary things I've seen. He took a couple of attempts, he'd hit the post, but he eventually gets it in, and oh my god, Bayern have turned this around and it's 3-1 now. Well, this game has been absolutely insane because Robert Lewandowski scored for a fourth time and you can hear the Allianz at the moment. Things are just starting to calm down because Lewandowski has scored five goals and Wolfsburg can't believe what's happened. The Allianz can't believe it. The only man who seems to be able to believe it is Lewandowski, who's strolling around looking to add to that.
Yeah, it was very exciting, as you don't have much possibilities to see something like that, and so it was really great to see it. Wolfsburg wasn't better at the first half, but Bayern wasn't so good as they could play, and so it was, of course, very good that they scored immediately after the change.
It was crazy, wasn't it? Yeah. Especially being one down. Bayern always come back strong in the second half. You can always expect them to at least put up a fight, but I didn't think Lewandowski would pull off something like that.
That was amazing. It's a friendly atmosphere, but there's a lot of energy going, so you really experience the football as well, and you know, you get caught up with all the emotion, and so it is really, really good atmosphere, really well.
It's good value for money, isn't it? Barely stopped chanting his name from the first goal and he's banging them in, isn't he? Every couple of seconds, minutes, just whacking them in. Every goal was a good goal.
What did you think of Robert Lewandowski's goals?
I cannot believe that one person can make five goals in 9 minutes. Fünf Tore in 9 Minuten.
And I think they all summed it up quite well there, Chris, because it was a pinch yourself. Everyone was just amazed by what happened, and I doubt I'll ever see anything like that again. And Robert Lewandowski, I mean, Chris, what a player.
What a player. And he has scored lots of goals in quick amount of time before. He got three for Poland, I think, against Gibraltar. Very late on. He scored those four goals, remember, for Dortmund against Real Madrid back in 2013, I think. But I'm not sure it will ever happen again in one of Europe's top leagues. You were there, obviously, but to actually physically score five goals in 9 minutes, by the time you've celebrated, gone back, kicked off, it's quite a hard feat, you know, actually to be able to do that in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, the logistics of actually scoring that many goals is hard. And
In terms of the league, though, Rob, actually a big win for Bayern. They made it 6 wins out of 6. And aside from the Robert Lewandowski story, that was a pretty standout result and performance for Pep Guardiola's side.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And, you know, for Guardiola, they now go 2 points clear after Dortmund drop points. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, for Wolfsburg, a massively disappointing result. They even had a chance to go 2-0 up when they hit the post after Manuel Neuer came off his line and the shot from the halfway line was so close to going in from Gilavogi. Ultimately, it's been a bad week for Wolfsburg now, of course, because of the Volkswagen scandal, the company that fund Wolfsburg. And it looks like that they'll be fined something in the region of $18 billion is what some of the reports are talking about. And considering the money hasn't been an object for them, you know, they spent €30 million on Andre Schürrle, no problem, back in January. And they were, you know, they had no problem selling Kevin De Bruyne, hence why City had to pay so much money. You know, a troubling time for Wolfsburg. And I just wonder what's going to happen to them in coming transfer windows and through the coming season.
Yeah, will certainly be interesting. Of course, they're at Manchester United in the Champions League, aren't they, next week? If we can speak about Dortmund, you mentioned it there. Drop points for the first time this season, but it's turning into a golden campaign for Aubameyang, isn't he? He can't stop scoring at the moment.
Well, exactly. And it was something that Dortmund had to try and address when they lost Lewandowski. You know, who's going to be our number nine? And they looked at Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who'd been scoring goals in France. And I think he really has... You know, we saw it at times last season, and particularly the back end of last season, but he is completely at home in the Bundesliga now. He scored again in a 1-1 draw at Hoffenheim, so Dortmund disappointed to drop points in that because Hoffenheim were beaten by Mainz last weekend. But for Aubameyang, 7 goals in 6 Bundesliga games this season, he's turning into a proper Dortmund striker.
He is. I think he scored in 8 straight Bundesliga games, something like that, which is an amazing record. If it was a big win for Bayern as well, Rob, we have to look at the other end of the table. No Lucien Favre, we discussed that a lot on Monday's podcast, but Mönchengladbach picked up a massive win.
Yeah, and they were 4-0 up inside 21 minutes. You know, I was talking to the commentator for that game, and he said it was just the most surreal start to a match. And sometimes a change in manager can inspire something, and all those goals come in the opening 21 minutes. Johnson, Xhaka, Stindl, and Dahoud as well. A wonderful low drive from distance. Augsburg got 2 back in the second half with penalties, but, you know, it was irrelevant. And what was interesting was at the game I commentated on by Leverkusen, which we'll get onto in a moment, Bertie Vogts was in attendance, a Gladbach legend. And he'd said on TV that Lucien Favre really, in not so many words, but left the club in the lurch. So he was very disappointed that Favre would do that to the club, to quit after that tricky start to the season. But perhaps, you know, maybe it will work out for them, and that's a much needed win.
It is. As you mentioned your game, you're not happy that Javier Hernandez has got a goal, are you?
No, I've got a problem. So I commentated on Leverkusen getting a 1-0 win at Mainz. Leverkusen went into that having lost 3 Bundesliga games in a row, and Mainz were looking really good. But Leverkusen got the win. Stefan Kiesling was dropped from the starting 11 for the first time in the Bundesliga this season. So that caught the imagination of people because Javier Hernandez was put up a front on his own. They tried a partnership in the defeat to Dortmund last weekend. That didn't work. Hernandez, on 69 minutes, picked the ball up on halfway line, drive towards goal. It was a wonderful run, and he shot from around 20 yards out, and it went into the back of the net. But there was a big deflection off his own teammate, Hakan Çalhanoğlu. So they gave the goal to Hernandez. It's his first Bundesliga goal. But where do you stand on that? The shot was on target, Chris. I'll give you all the details. Çalhanoğlu was onside when the ball touched him. He made a tiny movement, perhaps towards the ball, difficult to tell. But the change in direction of the ball also worked it past the goalkeeper. So whose goal is that?
Well, I'd say that was going to be my last question. If the change in direction was the key thing in beating the goalkeeper, if that's the case, then it shouldn't be Hernandez's goal for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure that'll stay as Hernandez's goal and his first Bundesliga goal. I'll just mention a couple of other results very quickly, Chris, and we'll move on. Darmstadt bouncing back after defeat to Bayern. They beat Werder Bremen 2-1. Hanover 1, Stuttgart 3. What a win for Stuttgart ahead of a big game against Gladbach at the weekend. Both those sides had lost all their games. And Hamburg, Chris, they look competent.
Okay. It's been a while.
It has been a very long time. They won 1-0 at Ingolstadt. Gregorisch with the only goal of that game. So a big result for Hamburg there.
Indeed, and also Schalke up to third, 2-0 winners against Eintracht Frankfurt, of course, and another goal for Sané, who is rapidly becoming, he didn't start that game, but he came off the bench, and he's rapidly becoming their new leading light with Max Meyer, who started in that 10 role. Good signs for Schalke, despite the fact, of course, they lost Julian Draxler.
This is Football in Europe, Serie A Roundup.
OK, Chris, let's move on to Italy now. Sampdoria against Roma was perhaps the most eye-catching fixture, but a huge result in Turin as Juve were held to a 1-1 draw by newly promoted Frosinone. Is that their first point?
Yeah, it is. It's their first point at the Champions. Late equaliser from Leonardo Blanchard. What a moment for him and for the club. And just to put it into a bit of context, he cost them €1,000 back in 2012, did Blanchard. And they were in the third division, Rob. And they've just held the Champions, who were most people's favourites again to win the title. Juve, 5 points from five games. It's really not been a good start, even though they won at Manchester City in the Champions League. It was a remarkable point from Frosinone's point of view.
Yeah, absolutely amazing story. Notice Simone Zaza scored as well, the Italian international. Chris, Mario Balotelli.
Yep.
Tell me about him at Udinese with Milan.
Well, he scored a fantastic free kick, started the game, opened the scoring. He just didn't produce it at Liverpool, did he? Or I don't think consistently at Manchester City. But it was a brilliant free kick. He hit it hard and it swerved and dipped into the top corner. Really good free kick from Balotelli. And he got it an early yellow card and he got some fairly rough treatment actually from the Udinese defenders. But his temperament was good. And he helped Milan win 3-2. They're actually 3-0 up at half time, and they're becoming the great entertainers under Sinisa Mihailovic in terms of they're open at both ends. But a good win for Milan, and certainly for Balotelli, I think, to get that goal early will do his confidence a lot of good.
So do you think he's going to try this partnership for a little while? Because it had been Luis Adriano and Carlos Bacca.
I'd be surprised, to be honest. I think it might be the fact there's been so many games, which means that you know, if you've got those three strikers, let's be honest, you're going to rotate them. I think we get a bit het up in this country about players being dropped or preferred partnerships. I actually think if you have three or four strikers, you rotate them and they all play 2/3 of the games and they're all a bit fresher for the games when they're not playing. I would imagine Luis Adriano and Carlos Bacca are still going to be Milan's number one partnership, but we shall see. And certainly Balotelli didn't do himself any harm with that goal. And as I mentioned, a good win that for Milan.
OK, other scores in Serie A. Carpi held Napoli to a 0-0 draw, an impressive result considering Napoli has scored 10 goals in their two previous games. And I saw Maurizio Sarri criticised his own player, Mirko Valdefiori, who he brought to the club. And he says he needs to, you know, show a bit more bravery in the way he's playing and a bit more urgency and a bit more pace in the middle of midfield because Jorginho has been playing very well. Lazio beat Genoa 2-0. Chievo 1, Torino 0. Chris, tell me about Inter because they might be the real deal, actually, because they beat LS Verona 1-0 and it's another victory.
They've only scored six times all season, but they've won 5 out of 5. And Roberto Mancini's had the perfect start. He's still playing down whether they can win the Scudetto. It was a summer of change, but amazing start for them. It was a narrow win. Felipe Melo got the winner. And I think, importantly, is not just have they won 5 out of 5, but that their major rivals, we've spoken about Juventus, have 5 points. That's a 10-point gap already, which is significant, certainly significant. Roma, it's an 8-point gap, because they didn't win in midweek. They were beaten at Sampdoria, Rob. So it's not just the fact that Inter are winning and grinding out results. It's the fact that their rivals aren't able to do that on a consistent basis at all.
So Inter atop with 15 points, Fiorentina on 12, Sassuolo third and Chievo fourth. It's a bizarre league table. Sampdoria fifth after they beat Roma by 2-1.
This is Football in Europe, Ligue 1 Roundup.
OK, let's look at matters in Ligue 1 now. So, a big week in France. But of course, Chris, I have seen absolutely none of it.
Well, you've been in Germany.
So can you, you're going to fill me in as well as anyone who's listening?
No prob.
OK, so I saw Angel Di Maria scored his first league goal for Paris Saint-Germain against a team I don't want to pronounce because you're with you. You're going to pick me up on my pronunciation.
I am, yeah. Gangon. It's Gangon.
Gangon.
There we go.
Thanks.
It's all right. Yeah, 3-0, comfortable win. You'd expect Paris Saint-Germain to beat Gangon, let's be honest. And they did. Di Maria scored first Ligue 1 goals you mentioned, scored in the Champions League last week, didn't he? Got an assist. Zlatan Ibrahimovic opened his Ligue 1 account. He also missed a late penalty, but it was a comfortable night for Paris Saint-Germain. And we often look and talk about performances and results, etc. But one thing just leapt out at me today, and the front three again, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Edinson Cavani, Angel Di Maria for Paris Saint-Germain. Now, you'd expect them to win Ligue 1 again, but that front three, I think most clubs in Europe would be very happy with that. And the Champions League is their aim. They've stated that publicly. And if those three can get partnerships going, can start firing, which they are beginning to, then they could be really, really dangerous this season.
Lyon beat Bastia by 2-0. There's one notable former Premier League player who was involved in this game, Chris, who you seemed, before we got going, you seemed a bit surprised was still knocking about for Lyon.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about Steve Malbronk for a while, if I'm being honest with you. 35, played an hour in the 10 role, set up a goal, comfortable win for Lyon against Bastia. Mentioned that Paris Saint-Germain should be beating teams like Guingamp, although they had a brilliant season a couple of years ago, Guingamp, and were good in Europe last season in the Europa League. But Lyon, good win for them, up to fourth. And after what happened at the Stade Vélodrome and all the incident there and some of the behaviour of the Marseille fans against Valbuena in particular, pleased for Lyon to have won that game, because they ultimately dropped points due to that debacle at the Stade Vélodrome. But they're up to fourth and are showing signs of improvement after a difficult start.
Saint-Etienne got a 1-0 win at Troyes, I see, and Saint-Etienne are now second, only a point behind Paris Saint-Germain. We're going to have to get Mark Rodden back on. I know we've said that a couple of times, but he's ESPN's French football journalist, so we're going to have to get him on and ask him what Saint-Etienne are up to be so high up the table. Rennes got a late equaliser at Gaz Lac Ajaccio, Giovanni Sio with that goal. Johan Gourcuff is out until the new year, and probably for some time for Rennes. So disappointing for them. Chris, I see that Bordeaux, who were in Liverpool's Europa League group, were beaten 6-1 by Nice.
They were. They were taken apart by Hatem Ben Arfa, who is another player who we spoke about of Andy Brassel right at the start of the season, given basically a free roll by Nice, and they ran right. Bordeaux actually took the lead away from home. Wouldn't have expected to have lost 6-1 after that, but they did on the South Coast. One win for them all season in Ligue 1. They're 16th in the table. Liverpool couldn't beat them, of course, in the Europa League, but they were roundly thumped by Nice, who are scoring goals for fun. They've got 16 now in 7 games, and that would have been an entertaining one to have been at, I can assure you.
And the other notable result, Marseille getting a 1-1 draw at Toulouse thanks to a 90th minute equaliser from Batshuayi. So Paris Saint-Germain top with 17 points, a point behind them, Saint-Etienne, but I don't expect that to last too long. Paris Saint-Germain surely will win the title. Rennes and Lyon, though, not too far behind the French champions. There was also a nice story in France this week. Eric Cantona says that he's going to house and feed a refugee family for at least 2 years. He's been inspired by the fact his grandparents, who were Spanish Republicans, fled Franco by crossing the Pyrenees on foot. And he's spoken to Marseille authorities about taking someone in.
For more, head to the website footballineurope.co.uk.
OK, we're into the final part of the podcast. There was also cup competitions across Europe this week. And if you want the latest from the Eredivisie, there was Dutch Cup football this week. We strongly recommend the Bennyfoot podcast. We've had Michel on the programme previously. They do a really good job on their show. So we recommend you tune into that. Chris, let's talk about the games we're recommending people watch on TV this weekend. In Spain, we're recommending people watch Villarreal Atletico. Why?
Well, it's third v fourth, and it's two sides who score a lot of goals. Villarreal have had an excellent start to the season. Atletico as well. For so long, it's been a two-horse race, hasn't it, in La Liga? It's been Barcelona against Real Madrid. Well, I actually think now, consistently, there is a third challenger. That is Atletico, Diego Simeone's side. We mentioned Griezmann. Fascinating to see him again. Should be a really good game.
And Bobby Soldier, Roberto Soldado might play, Chris. Tottenham fans would be interested, perhaps, or perhaps not.
Yeah, well, he was out injured for their midweek game. Marcelinho says that he might be fit. Let's hope so, because he had a decent start at Soldado. He's been key to how well Villarreal have been playing. So, yeah, always good to see him scoring. I still can't work out why that didn't work.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. He was voted Villarreal's Player of the Month as well for August. as they're high-flying at the moment. So Sky Sports 2 on Saturday at 7.30. Chris, there's a couple in Italy. Napoli-Juve on Saturday night at 7.45.
Yeah, it's a really big weekend in Serie A. We've mentioned Juve struggles where they go to a very difficult place, don't they? Napoli, though, two massive wins in a row, and then they were held by Carpi. So really big game that, I think. And I tell you what, if Juve drop any more points domestically and Inter continue to win, they are going to be a long, long way behind.
So that's on BT Sport Europe on Saturday evening. And then on BT Sport Europe on Sunday evening, Inter-Fiorentina. That's the top two?
That's the top two. I'd say that's the biggest game in Europe this weekend, Rob. First v second, Roberto Mancini against Paolo Sosa. Both of those, of course, have coached in England. Sosa's made a really good start after doing very well at Basel and at Maccabi Tel Aviv. So that should be a really good game. Interesting, because Inter, very difficult to criticise a side that have won five in a row, but they're grinding out results. And it depends what way you look at it. Do you say that, oh, they're not quite at their best and they're just winning games, they're sneaking them? Or maybe is that the way Roberto Mancini's side are going to play all season? They're going to be the Arsenal of the 80s and win Serie A by winning 1-0 every week.
Okay, so that's on BT Sport Europe on Sunday evening, 7.45. So from the Bundesliga this week, I'm going to recommend Hamburg against Schalke. A lot of the good games are actually on at 2.30, so you can't watch them in the UK. If you are abroad, maybe it would be worth checking out Mainz against Bayern. Mainz are playing really well this season. Bayern, it goes without saying. Werder Bremen play Leverkusen as well in one of those 2.30 UK time kickoffs. And Stuttgart face Gladbach, two teams who lost their opening five games of the season. So I'm going to recommend Hamburg-Schalke at 5.30 on BT Sport Europe. Hamburg looks settled, and Schalke under Andre Breitenreiter seem to have found some rhythm. Chris, come on, Liga. What's Liga got for me this weekend?
Well, it's difficult for a standout game. I'd watch Paris Saint-Germain. They're away at Nantes. See if Di Maria can continue. Apart from that, it isn't the most thrilling fixture list this week. That's what I've got. Nantes against Paris Saint-Germain.
All right, so what time's that on at least?
That is 4:30 on Saturday.
Okay, that's all we've got time for, Chris. You've got to run because you're off to interview a big, big name.
Yes, the special one. Very much looking forward to it. Chelsea play Porto next week, so going to be speaking hopefully about 2004 Champions League final. His whole journey in the competition, he can become the first coach to win it with three different clubs, which would be historic. And of course, Chelsea this season fielded an interesting side on match day one, didn't they? Interesting to see if he might stick with that and what he thinks of the current squad. So we'll see how it goes anyway.
Yeah, good luck. Not many people get a one-on-one with Mourinho, so that should be good. So I'm in Germany. I'm going to Cologne, Ingolstadt on Friday night and Dortmund on Sunday. And I'm across that game between Stuttgart Gladbach at the weekend. Don't forget, please leave us a review on iTunes. Sorry this podcast has been a bit of a shambles. It's hard, isn't it, doing that overseas?
Yeah, well, you're the one that's gallivanting.
And you keep swearing, which I have to edit out.
That is very unfair, and no one should know that there's any editing that goes on at all, Rob. This is a seamless production.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Follow our Audio Boom account as well. Leave us a review on iTunes. New podcast, we're back on Monday.
You've been listening to Football in Europe. Join us every week on Audio Boom for the latest content, interviews and special features. For more, follow @FAE Show on Twitter or head to footballineurope.co.uk.